You ever been dunked on in the game of basketball? Has it ever happened to you? Spencer Bradley, you here? It happens. I literally felt like when I walked in here and saw Bill Sanchez, I was looking for some old Hispanic guy, okay? That's who I was looking for. I'm just being honest. I kept looking around the room like, where is this older Hispanic guy? Then this smooth-looking guy comes in, better trimmed beard. I'm like, I'm standing back there by Lawrence Kelly. Mr. Cochran's to my left. Last night, I was kind of getting my pregame on, but I was like, what am I doing here? And why am I here? And then Bill gets up here and just dunks on me right in front of my face. You know? And I was like, seriously? He's younger than me, and he just brought it, okay? But it's because he brought us the Lord's Word, all right? And that's what was effective. He brings it, but he brought us the Lord's Word. And we're going to try to do the same thing right now, okay? Without my right leg, I don't dunk on hardly anybody anymore, all right? So those days are over. But I think it's time for us to dig in and keep getting serious about the Lord and his Word, okay? And when I got this assignment, to be honest, I first kind of blew through the story of Manasseh, and I was like, why did they pick this guy? I just kind of read it one time through, probably just like Bill. You know, you get your character like, man, I wanted like the Paul or somebody. I know his story. And it just wasn't really, really ringing with me. Then I read it again. And as I just keep, I would audio play. And every time I'd kind of get something riding over here, I'd read it again. Something else would hit me, okay? So Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, was a man of the Lord. He was just getting it for God, okay? He was doing good things. So that lets you know Manasseh's background, okay? And some of this kind of to this idea of confidence, I just want to talk about you guys real quick with where you are in life. You know, when you get somewhere like this, it's a safe place to confidently stand up and be a Christian, right? I mean, you can be here and just be for the Lord, and there's no shame in what you're doing, okay? Sometimes I would go places, and maybe I'm at a NASCAR race or whatever. And if my brother Matt, some of you guys know Matt Sandusky, and my brother John, if they were with me, man, I'll go anywhere. I'm like, man, if we get into an altercation, I can start it with my mouth and they'll finish it physically. I ain't worried about it, you know? And there's just kind of like, I'm a Sandusky right now. That's my brother over there and that's my brother over there, you know? And I just kind of step out of the way and they can handle whatever problems we run into, all right? You just feel like I'm confident, you know, whatever. And I was thinking this morning, you talk smack to Bill, he'll go get his 26 and you're in trouble. You got to be careful who you talk smack to, get confidence up. But this idea of when you get here, doesn't it feel a relief to you to go, you know what? I don't have to worry about anything. I can be for the Lord this weekend and openly proclaim this is what I'm doing, okay? We got to do it outside of these safe zones. But these safe zones are critical. You've got to get in the huddle to figure out the plays and what God wants you to do. You can break from the huddle and you got to face the opposition, but don't miss the opportunities to get in the huddle. You got to get in the huddles of life, okay? So Manasseh comes out of this home, in this environment of Hezekiah. And I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And I will tell you, though I do feel like I got dunked on by Bill, your performance as the audience and participation, you'd be running laps on my team, okay? And Bill would have had the whistle, and he'd have been blowing it until he decided you should stop. So you're going to have to do a little bit better about... So raise your right hand real quick. Raise your right hand, put it down. All right, raise your left hand, put it down. Say these words. I have a voice.
I have a voice.
And it works.
And it works.
Pretty quick. Thank you. Okay, so when he asks you a question, you don't know the answer, just look at your Bible. He said, read those five verses. And you guys were dead silent. I was like, look down. The answers are right there. Okay. So if we ask you a question and you know the answer, we're in the huddle. Okay. We're in the huddle. It's a safe place. Spit the answer out. Okay. It's no big deal. But listen to this text. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, starting in verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. And he reigned for 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places. They weren't good high places. They were false God high places, okay? They were false God high places that his father Hezekiah had torn down. You guys think your parents are goofy, they're out of style, they're not relevant, they're not pertinent or whatever. Maybe some of that's true, okay? My daughter said to me, are you wearing those black pants all day, Dad, this morning? I said, yeah, I'm wearing them all day with pride. You know, I ain't scared to wear these, but whatever. She don't want me wearing these pants, whatever. So there's things like that. We realize you think there's some relevant gap between your parents and you, okay? But Manasseh thought the same thing. He thought, my dad, he didn't really know what he was doing. He went back and rebuilt, almost in spite, the very things that his father had torn down. He rebuilt the high places. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you, and thou mayest live long on the earth. He just completely blew that out of the water. It's the first commandment with promise. He just said, forget Hezekiah. This is my time. I'm the king. I'm going to build the high places. He goes back and starts building the high places that his father Hezekiah had broken down. He raised up altars for the Baals and made wooden images. And he worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. Verse 4, he also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. God is a jealous God. You know that from your studies. He's a jealous God. He wanted my name to be the name, not the Baals and the Asherahs and not these other things. He says, I want it to be my name. And he built altars in the house of the Lord and the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Rick Pitino has been quoted saying, there is nothing better than going in somebody else's gym and beating them on their home court advantage, or in their home court, sorry. He said, because it feels like you're going to someone's house for the first time and you put your feet all over their furniture. You know, you just feel like we own this place. And he says, it's awesome to go into somebody else's gym and just put your feet all over the couch and beat them on their home turf, okay? It just feels good to do that, all right? It feels good to be victorious in oppositions and things like that. He has come into the Lord's house and he's put his feet all over his furniture. That's what he's done. He's put his feet all over the Lord's furniture. He's putting stuff in the Lord's house. I mean, if you're going to do it, why don't you do it outside the Lord's house? Why don't you go build your own place of worship? No, that's not what he did. He came in and just stomped it out, stamped it out, and dirtied up the Lord's very own house. He was bold in his evil. He wasn't secretively going out here in the mountains and down in the valley by the brook. Hey, Jared, come over here with me. We're going to go do our own little thing in the corner. I don't really believe in the Lord God Almighty. That's not what he was doing. He was arrogantly, boldly just taking God down and building something else up in place of God, in God's very own house. This guy was evil. He was wicked. He had good backgrounds, okay? Bill talked about whether you've got skills or abilities and things like that. Don't just live and bank yourself off of those things. He had good history. He had a good home life when it comes to his faith. And he's just stomping all over it. Don't do that with your life. If you don't have, so Bill's history is different than my history. You know, I grew up in a Hezekiah type of house. You know, I had a father and a mother and a God-fearing centered home. Don't go put your feet all over the furniture on that stuff. Don't stab all your parents' effort. They've wept and they've prayed and they've made every effort to get you even to where you are now. And you may or may not think that they're doing anything for you. They're probably concerned about you right now while you're here. You've made a great choice. They're probably parents that are away from you now praying that you're getting something out of the Lord's book this week, that you're gaining something to build your faith. Don't wreck and tear down and put your feet all over the furniture of that effort. They've done it in the name of the Lord. They haven't done it to be authoritative in your life and to be dictators in your life. That's not what they're doing. They're trying to corral you to go find an effort to walk yourself into the pasture of holiness. They want you to live for the Lord. That's what they're doing. And maybe you got a loaded attitude towards mom and dad in your life right now. Maybe you need to check that at the door when you go home from this weekend. And say, man, I'm going to start respecting and appreciating the things that they're doing to try to get me to love the Lord. I didn't realize the need in my life for that. This guy is evil. He is doing his own thing, his own way, at his own pace. And he don't care a thing about the Lord. All right, continue looking at verse 7. And he even set a carved image the idol which he had made in the house of God. So a while ago he was in the courts of the Lord, right? Lot pitched his tents towards Sodom. If you go do some homework on him, that's his first mistake. He just pitched them towards, he started going that direction, right? And of course you find himself in a real bad situation in his life. Here you have this guy. He's going out into the courts of the Lord. And I kind of wonder if that was maybe week one or week two. Meeting number three was, hey, let's put one inside the house. I mean, he just progressively seared his conscience to that sin. It's okay to do this. I'm going to do this. Now he's over here standing up carved images in the house of the Lord. You think, oh, it's no big deal. I'm just making one little decision this weekend. I'm kind of making a poor. It's a poor decision, but it's not a big deal. Maybe it's not. It's still a violation of God's word. That's a big deal. Next weekend, it's violation number two, and it's a little further past where you went last weekend. And you progress and you progress, and next thing you know, you've basically stood up a carved image in your life. Whether that be whatever we could list of today's world that's distractions and problems for us, we have to be careful that we're not standing up carved images right in the house of the Lord, okay? He's not done doing evil. All right, look at verse 7, continuing in verse 8, 2 Chronicles 33. In the house of the Lord, which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put what? What does your Bible say right there? My name forever. That's what the Lord says. I will put my name forever in this city and in this house. And what is he doing? He is stripping the name of God. He is removing people from the Lord. We're going to see at the end of this text, it says, he led all the inhabitants of Jerusalem away from God. And that's going to be my question for you to be chewing on now. Are you leading people to the Lord? Are you leading people away from the Lord? You've got your own righteous responsibility. So do I. I have to stand before the Lord. You have to stand before the Lord for what I do and for what you do. Kind of tier number two, in my opinion, you got to understand I'm responsible for what I'm doing that's affecting you or your classmate or your siblings. They're watching you. They're watching you. They're doing the things you do. They pick up and download the apps they see on your phone. They mimic the time and effort you put into whatever it is that's taking you away from the Lord. They want to be like you. I wanted to be like my older brother. I remember when I was younger, it took me a long time to learn to ride a bicycle for some reason. I don't know what was wrong, but I couldn't get it figured out. But I wanted to be where he was. So you know what I did? I pushed my bike and ran beside it for a year of my life. And I would chase him all over town, him and his friends. How embarrassing was that? Look, who's the idiot pushing his bike over? At that time, I had two legs. Why wouldn't he just ride the thing, you know? I just wanted to be where he was in his life. Wherever he's doing, he's older, he's cool. He's my brother. I'm going to be like him. And I'd push my bike and embarrassing myself just to go be in the physical places he was. You think there's a responsibility on you? You got younger siblings in your house. You're responsible. You're responsible to your situation for the Lord. You're responsible for what you're doing to them. You're going to answer for what you do. Manasseh is intentionally driving people away from the Lord. I can't stand. I can't stand when someone won't follow the leadership. Okay, I'm an athlete. And the coach speaks, I listen. You know why? He dictates playing time. I want to be out there on Friday nights. If he says run faster, I'm going to run faster. I'm just that kind of athlete because I want to participate. Not always just because I thought, well, it's the right thing to do. Sometimes it was out of wrong motives. I'm going to listen because it'll give me some playing time. We got the Lord talking to us in life. It grants us way more than playing time. We're talking about a message that God's laying down for us that gives us eternal destination. It's not playing on Friday nights for a couple hours and maybe a newspaper clip on Saturday morning you can relish for a few minutes. I got them. They're laminated. They're up in my attic. I know where they are. I can get them out. I love those things. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about eternal. This is eternal situations. This guy is making decisions to remove himself from the Lord, and he's taking others with him. You may not think you're in a leadership position. You may say, well, I'm not in a Manasseh. I'm not in these other Rehoboam. I'm not kingly. Man, there are people watching you. Okay, my dad one time got out of the car at a gas station, and this was back when you could buy it. The women's pantyhose were sold in a Playtex plastic egg. I mean, it was silver on top, clear on the bottom, or whatever. He got out of the car, and he stomped on that piece of plastic, not on purpose. And as he stomped on it, he was trying to turn around, and he was going to pick it up out of the parking lot. My brother John got out of the car. What do you think he did? He stomps on it. My dad's trying to. We didn't realize what he was doing. I get out of the car. Well, John stomped on it. I'm going to stomp. Matt gets out of the car. All three of us. He's like, boys, I'm trying to pick it up. Why are we doing that? We wanted to be like Dad. We want to walk where Dad's walking. We want to stomp in his feet. There's going to be situations in life. You may not be a king, but you're going to be a leader. And people are going to want to step in your shoes. They're going to go where you go. They want to be where you are. I hope your decisions are not those of Manasseh's. Hope you're stepping and stomping in places other people can step in there and stand. You can look up to the Lord and say, yes, this is where we are right now. This is what we're doing. We're digging on you, okay? Verse 8, and I will not again remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed for your fathers, only if they are careful to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinance by the hand of Moses. So listen to this verse, okay? Listen to this verse. So Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. God was knocking the teeth out of other nations for his people because of their evil. He was destroying them. He was knocking them down. We have stories of angels just slaughtering people. We have small men going out in numbers, very small, conquering great nations. If we go look at the Old Testament, what God was doing. And he says, listen, you're going to have to follow the statutes and the ordinances that I have laid down. And I want you to listen to the next couple verses. Sometimes we think about, and my dad used to love to watch, he still does. He's probably laying down right now in the living room watching John Wayne somewhere up in Madison. He'll get ready for his lesson tomorrow. He loves John Wayne. This is what he loves about John Wayne. He says, as the preacher and as the Christian in me, I can't set the whiskey cup down and punch somebody right in the mouth when I want to. He says, but John Wayne, he handles his problems right now. He drinks a drink. He says something you don't like. He just turns around. He just jacks you right in the mouth. You know? He said, I wish the Lord offered 10 timeouts in life. I'd use them all the time. Time out and punch somebody in the church and tell them, shut up. I'd get back in the game. But you can't do that. The Lord doesn't offer timeouts, right? He doesn't allow that situation. But John Wayne handles it now. Okay? And that's kind of what we like to see. Well, I can't do it. I'm going to watch him do it or whatever. I want you to listen to, as much as we know the Lord is gracious and he is patient, he is merciful, he is loving, he is kind, and we're going to talk about that as we close out in a minute. Listen to what happens in these next few verses. He speaks, they ignore, and watch this John Wayne punch you in the mouth from the Lord. Okay? He's the same God that we serve. Okay? He's the same God you're serving. Listen to this. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. This happens a lot in our house. I did bring three of my favorite, I guess, kids, as you talk about. We speak a lot, and we ask something to be done. It doesn't always happen when we ask it to be happen. And they don't always listen. I'm not saying my kids are some kind of horrible person. They're just like you, so you know you don't listen all the time either. And we say it again, and we say it again, and we hit on the wall, make sure that, hey, did you hear me? Get down here. You know, why are you being so mean? Well, I wasn't the first 48 times. I was really nice, you know. And we kind of give these opportunities. You know, my dad spoke, and then he spanked. That's how it worked in my house. I think I need to get back to some of that. It was speak, do, response from authoritative rule. And he told us, that's the rules. Do you know the rules? Before I spank you, did you know this was going to happen? Yes, sir. Did I tell you this was the rules? Yes, sir. Okay, this is not a surprise to you. No, sir. Still don't want this to happen, but yeah, I understand. Listen to that. He spoke in verse 10, and they did not listen. Verse 11. There's no, hey, Manasseh, let's huddle back up again. This is verse 11, which follows verse 10 in my Bible. Therefore, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon. That's God dealing with his children. He speaks, he expects, and he responds. He John Wayne's in this situation, in my opinion. He John Wayne's his people in that he says, I told you to follow my ordinances. I spoke and you did not listen. Oh, well, let me finish this game, Mom. Let me get off. No, I spoke. Set your stuff down. I'm authoritative in your life and get up and do. If you can't do that with Mom and Dad, you're not going to do that with the Lord's word. And he punches them literally, physically in the mouth through destruction of another nation. Manasseh finds himself bound. He's in some, you've probably seen different videos if you've ever watched anything, just he's in some type of dungeon or whatever. They've got him bound. He's been leading people away from the Lord, and God said, will you please change and follow these ordinances? Will you check in with God, as Bill told us to do earlier? Consult God is what I got from his discussion that I want to type in my phone. Consult God when you get into some situation. Manasseh's not doing that. And we talk a lot about people on the human aspect of forgiveness. I'll forgive you when you meet my requirements. You know, when I think you've done this and you've done the attitude's right, your tone's right, you know, your timing's right, you know, I got all these requirements I'm gonna hold you with until you forgive. Okay, you might have heard me talk about the strike hands for the well-being of others. If you've ever listened to me speak, and in our house, my dad had that. This is the concept that if I strike my hand right here, Jared. That was a strike in hands for the well-being of others, right? So if there was conflict and there's an argument, we're out on the basketball court figuring out who fouled who, because that's important, right? I mean, I want to know if it's my ball or his ball. It's a big deal. And my dad saw a confrontation and it was continuing. He would yell out the window, hey, strike hands for the well-being of others. And we knew that was warning number one. And we had to strike hands. And he meant, change your attitude. So there's something gainful about physical touch that just kind of makes you chill out or whatever. And we'd try to break each other's hand. We'd strike hands and say, all right, you know, whatever. And then rule number two was you had to hug your brother. You know, had to hug your brother. Well, maybe your generation is a little softer and different, but we didn't hug our brothers too much back in the 80s and 90s. It was like not cool, you know. And step number three was you had to kiss your brother on his lips. Do you think any Sandusky boy ever let the argument go to phase three? Never happened once. We were programmed to say, you know what? That confrontation is over. End it. Forgive the guy and let it go. I thank my dad over and over for that teaching because I try my best to just give somebody a sporting chance. Just forgive them. Just forgive them. In my head, I'll say, just strike their hands. Strike their hands for the well-being of others. You're going to find out, Manasseh, he didn't say, oh, Lord, I want to turn to you. He got his teeth knocked out, and then he beckons the Lord. But what I want you to understand is this. God doesn't work like I do. He doesn't have all these requirements. Well, let me check all these things before I think about it. He's going to go to work with Manasseh. So sometimes we say, well, no, you didn't humbly approach the Lord. You tripped and fell on your face, and then you try to all of a sudden say, well, now I need the Lord. Who cares? You're calling on the Lord. That's what he cares about. The Lord wants to know that you beckon him. And I don't care where you are in life right now. I don't care where you have been in life or where you might find yourself in life. You need to understand that. Mom and Dad may need 3 months to recover with you and repair. Buddies from church might be 2 weeks before they talk to you like they used to. Who cares? They don't decide eternity for you. The Lord does. You get right with the Lord and you move on with your life. Wait for them to grow up. Don't quit on them while they're growing up in the Lord. But don't base your relationship on the Lord based on Jared's unwillingness to forgive me as my brother. Right? That's between he and I. But he doesn't sit on the judgment seat. I want it to work out. I want to be patched up with Jared if there's a problem. But that's not how the Lord works. Listen to what happens as Manasseh falls on his face, okay? Verse 12, now when he was in affliction, He implored the Lord his God. I don't care how he got there. I don't care what kind of bloody lip it took to get him there. At the point of distress, the English Standard Version says, in his distress, he sought the Lord. Is that your go-to button? Is that your first thing to do when you're in distress? I'm going to seek the Lord. He did not say, man, I need to repent and turn to the Lord. I want to change this nation. He had to be beat up by the Assyrians. He had to be in captive. He had to be locked up and hooked up and chained up. And then in his distress, he said, I'm going to call on the Lord. And I want you to watch what the Lord does when we do that. Watch what the Lord does. Not about, well, I don't have a friend anymore in the church because she says my sin was too much to deal. That's not how the Lord is. That's not what the Lord does. Listen to what this guy led the nation away from God. He was evil on purpose. It wasn't accidental. He intentionally did these things. Okay? He intentionally did these things. And he humbled himself greatly. That's in my notes. He humbled himself greatly. He put himself in a different position. He lowered himself. I don't care how he got there. He got there. Okay? He humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him. We talked in our discussion group, who do you talk to when you're in times of distress or you got challenges? Who do you ask for advice, etc., etc.? And the point was made by Lawrence Kelly in the book of James, where the Lord says he just forgives you without reproach. I mean, it's awesome to go talk to the Lord because he doesn't say, well, you're so stupid. What in the world were you thinking? He just doesn't do that. He's without reproach. And here is a perfect Old Testament example. Manasseh is reaching to the Lord. If it were me and I was God, I'd say, huh, no, sir, buddy. You didn't want it last week before when we talked. You didn't want to listen then. You didn't want it. You didn't want to follow my instructions. Now, you can sit on the bench and sit in the corner for a little bit and think about it. That's the Scott Sandusky human in me. But the Christ in me should look a lot like God's response. That's what should happen. And sometimes Scott needs to put himself on the bench and bring Christ to the forefront and go, what would the Lord do with this brother or sister in this moment? Okay? The Lord puts the guy right back in his kingdom. You think I'd give you back your kingdom if this was me? If this is me and you royally messed up, you can work in the kitchen for the rest of this kingdom. We're glad to have you, but we're not going to elevate you. You failed us. That's just the human in me. But that's not the Christ in me. And right now, we're going to go see the God in Manasseh's forgiveness. And I hope that we are learning and realizing that we need to do this for one another. The world would be a better place if people could just be forgiven for their failures. There's so many people, even in this room right now, if we could, we won't, right? But if we could just go, just put your biggest failure on the table. Man, we would put the third biggest one first. Then we'd maybe start hinting to the second biggest one. Once I heard someone else has failed in kind of the same capacity, I might say, well, yeah, I've similarly done it. We won't ever just say, man, I have done X, Y, and Z, and it's embarrassing. And I need the Lord's forgiveness. But he'll forgive you. You don't have to worry about the human response in this situation, even among believers. You have to focus on the godly response. You have to go dig in with God. If I won't forgive you, don't quit on the Lord. You go dig with him, okay? And he says here, and he humbled himself. He approached God, he prayed, and he received his entreaty. Heard his supplication and brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. That even bothers me if I was the Lord. Oh, now you want to acknowledge me? You want to wait? You want to wait till now? Now you say, oh, God's so good because he got me out of that mess. I'd be angry. Not the Lord. He puts him right back in. He puts him back into his situation. He puts him back into his kingdom. And he goes right back to digging and listen to what he does. And after this, he built a wall outside the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley as far as the entrance of Fishgate, and it closed Ophel, and he raised it to a very great height. Then he built put military captains in all the fortified cities of Judah. He took away the foreign gods and idols from the house of the Lord and all the altars he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and he cast them out of the city. He also repaired the altar of the Lord, sacrificed peace offerings and thank offerings on it, and he commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people still sacrificed on the high places, but only to the Lord their God. He turned himself around and he went to those whom he had led astray and said, Scott has really messed up right here, and we're going to do different. We're going to do different. You may need to go home to mom and dad and say, hey, I'm going to do different. I'm going to come to the humble position before the Lord, and I'm going to act right in this house. I'm going to act right. We're going to seek the Lord. I mean, Manasseh is telling his people, who he lured away on purpose. He pulled them away from God. He's now coming back, and he's commanding and demanding, we will serve the Lord. When you mess up, not if, we're dealing with humans, right? We're not Christ. We're not the Son of God in this room. We're trying to be like him in every way we can. When you mess up, you entreat the Lord, and he will hear you. And he will forgive you. And he will build you back in ways that maybe no one else will value you. You may always be, oh yeah, that's the high school kid who got on drugs and blew his opportunity to play ball or whatever. In the eyes of the people in your church, who cares about that? They don't determine your eternal destination. The Lord does. Get on with yourself and get on with God. And go build a new you. And tell the people around you, hey bro, this is the last time I'm calling you. I'm blocking your number. If you change your ways, you can find me. You know where my mom and dad live, but I'm blocking you. I can't hang with you. I'm changing what I'm doing. I'm moving out. I'm going to find a new place to live. Some of you are in places where you're living in situations, or you might be living in situations that you got to get out of. You got to tell them, look, I got to find a new address. This is not going to be me anymore. I'm coming back to the Lord, and I'm doing something different. So the question is for you and for me is, are you, number one, living your life for the Lord? And secondly, I want you just to dig on is, are you leading people to the Lord? Or are you leading people away from the Lord? Which of those is happening by the life that you are leading? Not what you think you're doing, but by the life you are leading. Are you drawing people to the Lord? Or are you shoving them away from the Lord? Hopefully, we're bringing them to the Lord. And hopefully, you're getting closer to the Lord. But we've got to understand, when we go the other direction, God is merciful. He loves you. He will never stop loving you. And he is ready to rock with you as soon as you turn the switch on and say, put me in, coach. I'm ready to do this. It's game on. May we all seek the Lord and take some people with us. All right. Thank you for your time.